Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA final.
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. Here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm Jordan Buscarini, back with you for another edition. Tuesday already. And we got a lot to get to today. We're going to continue on the local baseball front. Today, Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Dino Baseball Squad will join us. A lot of excitement right now brewing around this team. They played very well in the opening two rounds of the state tournament. They won a 14-inning thriller over Park City in the opening round. 14 innings. And then they knock off Cedar in a 7-inning thriller. So, essentially, Carbon played three games and won two. Still unbeaten. They got three Region 12 teams in the quarterfinals, and then you got the defending state champions Pineview from Region 9. That's who Carbon will go up against. So we'll talk a lot of local sports on the show today. That's coming up in just a bit. Also, we'll talk NBA basketball. It's a big night for those fans who don't have a team in the postseason. Tonight's a big night. We get the NBA lottery. Now, there's several storylines that come with the NBA lottery. And, of course, anytime you start talking about the lottery, people bring up the conspiracy theory. It's fixed. The envelope was frozen back when the New York Knicks got the first pick and selected Patrick Ewing. I don't think the lottery's fixed. Maybe it is. I don't know. Dikembe Mutombo may have slipped up earlier today on Twitter. Mutombo congratulated Philadelphia on winning the lottery. That was just about 2 hours ago that he did that, hour and a half ago. I don't know when they officially do the drawing of the lottery balls. I do know that the presentation tonight is live at 5:45, but I don't know when the drawing of the balls come out. So, basically, here's my take on it. If Dikembe Mutombo knows something, it's not that the lottery's fixed. It's that we've already had the drawing, and somebody within the organization leaked this. I don't think he knows. Joel Embiid earlier, who could play center one day for the Philadelphia 76ers, tweeted out, "Trust the process, number one, number four," or something like that, meaning that Philadelphia has a chance to get two top five picks out of the lottery tonight. They could get the number one pick. In fact, they have the best chance to get the number one pick. And if the Lakers pick falls out of the top three, it goes to Philly. So, essentially, the Sixers could get one and four. Perhaps Mutombo seen that and decided he thought that Philly won the lottery. I don't know, but let the conspiracy theories fly. I'll tell you what. If the Sixers don't get the number one pick, Mutombo probably shouldn't go walk the streets of Philly anytime soon. We'll talk more NBA lottery in just a bit. Speaking of the NBA, how about the Oklahoma City Thunder? This team continues to wow. The most impressive stat last night. It's not even real. I guess it's a stat. They held Golden State to 14 points in the fourth quarter. That's the only stat that you need to know off of last night's game. Yeah, we could go over the fact that Russell Westbrook is very good. He scored 27 points. But combined, he and Kevin Durant was just 17 of 51 from the field. That's not very good. Defensively, they were really good. And Golden State did not shoot the ball particularly well either. Steph Curry was 9 of 22. Klay Thompson was 11 of 25. Draymond Green was 9 of 20. It's not shooting the ball very good. Bench scoring last night was not good for Golden State. I believe the bench was held to like 16 points in this contest. So it's a game that Oklahoma City, they had to win one of the first two. They get it. A lot of people already jumping off the Golden State bandwagon. Don't do that. Look, a lot of the pundits who picked Golden State to win in seven, if you pick Golden State to win in seven, guess what? They have to lose three times in order for them to win in seven. If you pick them to win in six, they have to lose twice in order for them to win in six. I think Golden State's just fine. But Russell Westbrook really showing the ability to take over a game at any given moment. And that's what happened last night. There were times where Golden State had a 12-point lead, and you thought, methodically, they're just going to pull away and take game one. Westbrook wouldn't allow that to happen. And Steven Adams continues to play out of his mind. He was plus 19 on the court last night. 16 points, very efficient from the field, 5 of 8, has 12 boards, has a couple of blocks. Very, very good game for Oklahoma City. Now the Warriors, they need to win game two. That's an understatement. We get game one of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight, and not a lot of experts are giving Toronto a chance to top Cleveland. We'll talk about this game a little bit later. I think that Toronto could force a game seven. I don't think that Cleveland will end this series in Toronto, which means they either have to win it in five or they have to win it in seven. And I don't think that Toronto is getting enough respect. They beat Cleveland 2 out of 3 times in the regular season. And again, you got to leave the country. You got to go all the way to Toronto. Well, Cleveland's not that far from Toronto as far as the flight goes. But still, Toronto is a pretty decent team. And you look at their backcourt, they got DeRozan, they have Lowry. I love that as far as an offensive backcourt goes. If it's efficient, if that backcourt is efficient, Toronto's tough to beat. We'll break this game down a little bit later, talk about the key ingredients in it. Bismack Biyombo, remember that name, because if Toronto's going to be successful, it's going to be on the shoulders of Bismack, at least as long as Valachunas is out. We'll talk more about that in just a bit. This is a story we did not talk about on the show yesterday, but it has kind of taken over the headlines in Major League Baseball. Rougned Odor received an 8-game suspension for punching Jose Bautista on Sunday. This finally comes out. A lot of speculation as to what Odor would actually get. There's no way you haven't heard about this yet. It was a brawl in the 8th inning between the Blue Jays and the Rangers, two teams that met up in the postseason, and this has been brewing for quite some time. Bautista hits a huge home run in the series, did the bat flip, which inspired guys like Goose Gossage to come out and speak against Jose Bautista, calling him a disgrace to the game. And I don't necessarily... It's like a generational war right now in Major League Baseball. You have the old school guys and the unwritten rules, and then you have the new school guys who want to make the game fun. And I think there's common ground in the middle. Because I don't know where these unwritten rules are in baseball. And I've had several segments on this show over the past 5 or 6 years talking about the stupidity in the unwritten rules. I, for one, did not find anything offensive on what Jose Bautista did last year when he flipped the bat in the postseason against the Rangers. Yeah, maybe he celebrated at somebody else's expense. It wasn't scripted. It was a heat-of-the-moment deal. He came through for his team in the postseason. And I think the Rangers were just waiting. And I hope that we get to see these two teams in the postseason. I hope. But Odor comes up, and if you missed it, we get a brawl as Bautista's sliding into second base. Odor took a little bit of offense to it. Bautista stands up. And you can actually break this down frame by frame. You can find it on the internet in just about any amount of time. Basically what happens is Bautista shoves Odor, which is funny. Or excuse me, Odor shoves Bautista, which pretty much gives Bautista an opening to clock Odor. After that, Odor steps over a jab and connects with a right. And the most amazing aspect of it all, Bautista does not drop. The glasses and the helmet, they go flying off, and he doesn't drop. Now, as bizarre as it sounds, I think this is good for baseball. You say, well, how could a fight be good for a sport? There's no way. I think this is good for baseball because, again, we have these unwritten rules, and it sparks conversation. I mean, we're right in the middle of the conference finals in the NBA, and we're talking about baseball. Baseball in the middle of May. Because of Odor and Bautista, and because of the comments made by Goose Gossage and the comments made by Bryce Harper and this new school slash old school way of playing baseball. I will say this about the game of baseball, and it's one thing that I truly respect. The players still police the sport. I mean, that's evident. And what I mean by that is, you know, it's an unwritten rule. You don't throw at a pitcher. Like, if you throw at a pitcher, guess what? Pitcher's going to throw back at you. The players do a great job of policing the sport. You don't flip a bat? Well, Odor made sure that he told Bautista, don't ever flip a bat against us again. Like, so if you like the unwritten rules or not, players still police the game. We don't need rules to prevent this kind of stuff from happening, because the players, they have their own way of dealing with it, and that's okay. Now, in comparison to previous suspensions, Michael Barrett got 10 games for punching A.J. Brzezinski. Ian Kennedy, who I know is a pitcher, got 10 games for starting a brawl against the Dodgers and the Padres. 10 games for a pitcher is different than 10 games from a player. Carlos Quentin, he was suspended 8 games, and I want you to think about the severity here. He was suspended 8 games, the same amount as Odor, after he broke Zach Greinke's collarbone just a couple of seasons ago. Odor lands one of the most flush punches you will see in professional sports, and he gets 8 games as well. Yes, you have to use previous suspensions as a gauge on current suspensions. You have to. I know we got a new commissioner, a relatively new commissioner, but still the precedent has been set over the last couple of seasons. 8 games seems like a little too much. I don't think Odor deserved an 8-game suspension. Say he clocked somebody across the face. Yes, well, based off what Quentin got, Odor does not deserve an 8-game suspension. And it's being reported that he will appeal it. Of course he's going to appeal it. But you can't have things both ways. And this is that new school type, old school mentality. Like, speaking about NBA basketball, I am told constantly the golden age of the NBA was the 1980s. That was the golden age. You see videos today of Larry Bird rocketing a ball at Bill Laimbeer's face from the foul line. And you say, well, those teams really hated each other. You see Kevin McHale clothesline Kurt Rambis as he's going in for a dunk, and you say, those teams really hated each other. The same when Robert Parrish punches Bill Laimbeer in the side of the face as he's going up for a rebound. And it just seems like that's the reason why people deem it the golden age, because today it's such a fraternity in the NBA. These players want to play with each other, where in the past they wanted to beat each other. Well, guess what? Odor and the Rangers, they don't like the Blue Jays. They want to beat the Blue Jays. In that sense, it's good for the sport. That's where I'm getting at. It's good in that regard. We have a true rivalry building in Major League Baseball, and I hope we see these two teams go at it come postseason time. We've got to pause for a quick commercial break. Coach Jeff Cincinnatus is going to join us live in the studio coming up in just a moment. Also, again, we're going to talk NBA lottery and the Utah Jazz chances. What chance do the Jazz have of winning the lottery? It's very slim, but we'll go back through the numbers. Which team made the biggest jump in lottery history? I know you remember it. ESPN just did a brilliant 30 for 30 on part of this topic as well. And we'll talk about that coming up in just a bit. Drive Time Sports here on 103.9 FM and 750 AM.
There are few things that are as smooth as a drive to the basket for 2 points.
Bailey breaks Lucondo's ankle, drives for 2, fouls 1.
Experience that same feeling off the court in your automobile with a trip to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell. J&D Auto is number one in parts and service. So if your car is running rough and you need a diagnosis, or if you're in need of one specific part to finish the job yourself, head to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell.
What do you think of in springtime? What about hosting a big family barbecue on the lawn? KFC and A&W has all the hamburgers, hot dogs, and shakes to make your springtime bash a scrumptious success. Pick up some mouth-watering Papa Burgers, a zesty cheesy Coney Dog, and plenty of fries, onion rings, and corn dog nuggets for the family. Want to hit a home run with your kid's baseball team? KFC and A&W is the spot to take the team out for celebratory shakes, root beer floats, and polar swirls. Spring is the time of hamburgers and hot dogs at KFC and A&W.
Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. All academic awards have been given out by the Utah High School Activities Association and the Deseret News for the spring sporting season. And as always, several local athletes are representing the Castle Country area. Carbon High School's Gabe Van Dyke and Dalton Latimer qualified for the academic all-state team in boys track and field. The combined GPA was a 3.999 for all those who finished eligible. For the Emory Spartans, it was a Travis Felberg. He qualified for the 2A classification. Their cumulative GPA was a 3.989. On the girls' side of the track, Lexi Monson received the nod for the Carbon Dinos. Again, that cumulative GPA was a 3.999, and Camry Johnson received the nod for the Emory Lady Spartans. The cumulative GPA was a 3.998 for those who qualified. In soccer, Emory had two individuals named the All-Academic Squad, Abram Hadfield and Ethan Shorthill. The cumulative GPA for those who qualified was a 3.987. Carbon High School's Andrew Richens qualified for the academic all-state team in boys tennis. The cumulative GPA for those who qualified was a 3.994. And finally, in softball, the Emory Lady Spartans had one representative. That was Jessica Mason. The combined GPA for those who qualified in the two-way classification, a 3.998. Congratulations to all student-athletes who have been recognized for their excellence inside the classroom. As we reported yesterday, the Carbon Lady Dinos softball squad opened up the state tournament 1-1 after losing to Stansbury in the opening round, but responding with a victory over Morgan in the second round, 13-3, to extend their season. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, head coach Wade Williams was a guest, and he talked about the performance of his team during the first two rounds.
I think it's more mental than anything. You just got to go prepared to, you know, the girls got to go prepared to give it their all. And I think for the most part, they did that. You know, we do struggle with the small ball a little bit. That's something, you know, we got a couple more days when you work on it and be ready for Thursday's game.
As it stands right now, all four squads from Region 12 that qualified for the state tournament remain. Although only one is still unbeaten, Carbon, Canyonview, and North San Pete will live on in the one-loss bracket. Coach Williams says it's no surprise he knew how talented Region 12 was throughout the year.
I take it one game at a time. I have, you know, the dads keep me informed of every possible scenario, so... Yeah, between you and I hope we get Cedar. It doesn't matter, though. We'll give it our best shot.
As it stands right now, the Lady Dinos do not know who they will be playing when they return to the field on Thursday. It'll be the loser between Grantsville and Cedar City. And Coach Williams says he has his preference.
I was very impressed with 2L this year. I expect them to probably be the one, if not the number two team when this is all over. Their pitching is just was phenomenal. We really struggled against them. When you get to the state tournament, I think you kind of your rivals that you've fought against all year, you actually change and you want them to do well to prove to the state how good our region is.
You can listen to this complete interview by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. There will be more on the Carbon Dino softball squad throughout the week. And finally, we'll move over to the NBA. Tonight, the lottery will be held at 5:45 p.m. This will be on national TV, and we'll see where the Utah Jazz will be picking in June's NBA draft. Now, as it stands right now, the Jazz have the 12th best chance of grabbing the number one spot, which is extremely slim. They have a 0.7% chance of getting it. They have a 2.5% chance of getting inside the top three. Again, the lottery will take place tonight on ESPN prior to Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals at 6 p.m. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Also joining us today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports at 4 p.m. will be Carbon Dino baseball coach Jeff Cincinnatus. He'll talk about the first two rounds of the tournament from his team. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Do you hear that? The birds singing, trees rustling, and the roaring engine of ATVs hitting the trails. Now that this spring fever is here, I'm ready to hit the trails with the family and blaze through the hills and mountains having a blast. Desert View Federal Credit Union has affordable ATV and RV loans with low interest rates, so our spring recreation fund doesn't have to wait. What better way to spend your spring than riding your new ATV, thanks to Desert View's great ATV and RV loans.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
They busted off a stop when it mattered the most.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series is on the Motor Racing Network.
They put him out front. Denny Hamlin kept it out front.
The Sprint All-Star Race from Charlotte.
And he is headed to the bank, and he's headed to victory lane. Denny Hamlin has won the All-Star Race.
Saturday at 5 p.m. on the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR.
Need to refresh your walls with a durable paint that stands up to day-to-day wear? Use Hi-Hide, PPG Porter Paint's best-selling premium paint. Hi-Hide is perfect for high-traffic areas. Fingerprints, smudges, and stains are no match for Hi-Hide's washable finish. So head to Spectrum Paint, your local PPG Porter Paint dealer, for the perfect paint, expertise, product, knowledge, and personal service to help you complete any paint job. You can find PPG Porter Paints at Spectrum Paint.
No crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler
that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
Play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
More local baseball talk here on KOAL's Drive Time Sports. It was a very exciting weekend, specifically for the Carbon Dino baseball team. They win two games, and they do it in dramatic fashion, setting the stage for the final weekend of the baseball season. Joining us right now in the studio to talk a bit about that, we have head coach Jeff Cincinnatus. Coach, always great to get you in.
I appreciate you getting me in, Jordan. Thanks.
Yeah, definitely, Coach. We got a lot of great stuff to talk about. You guys had a terrific weekend of baseball. You knock off Park City in 14 innings, and you follow that up with a one-run win over Cedar. So, all in all, there was some very exciting baseball, to say the least.
Yeah, it was an exciting day, no doubt. Maybe one of the more exciting days of my baseball career, going back to the Legion seasons we had. But, you know, quite a day starting off with Park City up at Juan Diego on Saturday and going 14 innings with a really good baseball team. And, you know, I talked to a lot of coaches before we got there, and everybody thought this was going to be the best matchup of the first round because of the two pitchers that were going against each other. Ryan Brady from Park City, definitely one of the state's best pitchers, and then obviously Cole Fawcett on our team, who's one of the state's best pitchers. And those two going head-to-head was quite a treat to watch, and both of them pitched 11 innings on Saturday, and, you know, neither one of them wanted to budge, and when they left the game, you know, the score's tied at 2 apiece, and neither one of them gets a decision in the pitching department, but they both did such a tremendous job. It was extremely fun to watch, and a little stressful to coach. It would have been a little better to be a spectator, but I'll tell you, to be a part of that game, and then to come out on top with Dallin Maurer hitting a home run in the top of the 14th inning, and sneaking away with a 3-2 win was just quite an accomplishment for our team.
Yeah, we'll start by talking about the pitching in this 14-inning contest. Cole goes 11 innings, which is just phenomenal. You don't see that too often, somebody at this stage, at that age. His pitch count was still extremely low, which is a true testament to just how good he was throughout that contest. Then you use two guys to close out the game. Three pitchers in 14 innings is not a bad ratio for a coach.
No, like you said, we got 11 innings out of Cole. His pitch count was right at about 130 pitches, which, you know, you might think that's a lot, but we've done a good job all year long, I feel, of getting our pitchers to a point where their arms were, you know, at full strength this time of year. I mean, had Cole been pitching 130 pitches before Saturday, you know, a few times, that's a different story, and that's why we put a pitch count on our guys early in the year to try and strengthen their arms up and get them prepared to be in this situation. But yeah, you know, he goes 11 innings. We bring in a sophomore in Zach Bradley, who's done a tremendous job for us, you know, all year too, coming in and giving us an inning or two here and there, and then obviously pitching some JV ball for us. But Zach come in and, you know, pitches a 12th and a 13th and is scoreless in both those innings and just did a really nice job. That's a big spot for a sophomore to come into. And, you know, he looked like a deer in the headlights when we sent him out on the mound, you know, to start that 12th inning. But, you know, he settled down. He did a nice job, and we played some good defense behind him. And then once we got the lead in the 14th inning, you know, it was kind of a no-brainer to go ahead and bring Mitch Olson in and let him finish the game for us. We knew Mitch was going to be our starter in the next game, but, you know, after getting the lead in the 14th inning, we knew it was all or nothing at that point in time. And so, you know, Mitch come in and shut the door in the 14th inning, and we escaped with a win. And so, tremendous defense all day long. When you look at, you know, we played 21 innings. You know, and only had two errors the entire day. Our defense was great, and our pitching in two games was just tremendous, and, you know, just can't say enough about it.
You had two big knocks as far as home runs at the plate go. First off, Dallin Maurer hits his first career home run, top of the 14th inning. That's a great memory for a senior.
Oh, no doubt. You know, Dallin, he's been such a great kid to coach. Attitude. He's a kid that's willing to do anything for you. I mean, you tell him to do anything, and he never questions it. He just goes and does it, and he's such a treat to be around. And, you know, I know he just got his mission call a couple days before that, you know, was excited about opening up his letter and figuring out where he was going. And, you know, we were kind of giving him a little crap here and there about that and just keeping the mood, you know, kind of loose with him. And it's going to be hard to see him leave for a couple years. I mean, he's a kid I've been around now for 4 or 5 years, and I was extremely happy to see him be successful in that situation. You know, two strikes on him, you know, hadn't had the best day at the plate, but nobody really had. I mean, we're facing one of the best pitchers in the state, and he kept us down. And so for him to get the home run with two strikes and put us up 3-2 in the 14th inning, you know, you couldn't see a bigger smile on a kid's face when he ran at third base. And I know looking into the stands, you know, everybody's jumping up and down. His parents were extremely happy. And that's what sports are all about. I mean, it's unfortunate teams have to lose games. It's unfortunate that Park City, you know, walked away with a loss out of that game because really both teams did such a tremendous job that, you know, we both should have been crowned winners in that ball game. But, you know, just to see the excitement on a kid's face like that, just it makes, you know, my 25 years of coaching, you know, it just makes it all worthwhile at that point in time.
Cole Fawcett has a big one in the next game. You and I were talking about this. It appeared to just be a mistake by the opposing pitcher, just missing his mark. And Cole's the type of player where if you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. He'll make you pay.
Yeah, I mean, even in the first game with Park City, they did a good job of pitching around Cole and didn't really give him a lot of good pitches to hit. He had three hits in the ball game. But, you know, I think they made another mistake with him in about the sixth inning where he hit a home run that put us up 2-1 in that Park City game. And, you know, that might be one of the longest home runs I've seen hit in a long, long time. I know the wind was blowing out a little bit there at Juan Diego, but, you know, his home run cleared the left field fence by a good 100, 150 feet. And, you know, I know their coaches were not happy with that. I think their pitcher missed a spot there and gave him a good pitch to hit. And, you know, good hitters, you know, turn mistakes into good things, and that's what Cole did in that game and then turned around in the second game with Cedar. And, you know, we're really kind of dead in the water with Cedar at that point in time. It's 3-0 in the sixth inning. You know, I can look at the look on our guys' faces. We're tired. We're beat from playing 14 innings. And it just didn't look like we had what it was going to take to beat a Cedar team. You know, and their pitcher makes a mistake to Cole in the sixth inning with two guys on base, and he hits another ball, you know, that clears Pleasant Groves Field, which is a lot bigger park. It cleared their fence by, you know, a good 30 or 40 feet. And so just a tremendous day for Cole when you look at it all the way around at the plate and his pitching performance. And then what gets lost in all this is the defense that he plays at shortstop. I mean, he caught a ball over the shoulder going out to center field against Cedar City, turned around, fired it to first base, and turned a double play for us that was big. And had two more ground balls on the infield that took, you know, really short hops and skipped. We're going to skip by him, and he was quick enough to get him and throw guys out that just really saved runs for us. So a tremendous all-around effort by Cole, and you know, not to get lost in all that. It was a real tremendous effort by all of our kids, but, you know, some things stick out more than others, and that's what good players do.
Well, let's move forward. Your guys' next matchup will be against the defending state champions, same team that delivered a loss to you guys last year in the state tournament in Pineview. This is the team that I think a lot of people at the beginning of the postseason would have pegged to win a state championship, but you guys go into it, obviously riding a couple of highs, and you have nothing to lose in this game.
No, you know, we talked about it as a group. We're in the same situation, as you said, we were last year. We're 2-0 going into the, you know, the final weekend of the state tournament. We, of course, get the number one team in the state again, just like last year. Pineview was ranked number one. They're ranked number one again. A lot of similarities in last year's team with pitching and some of their position players. They did lose a few guys, but you know, we're in a situation where I think last year we were a little bit in awe and a little bit nervous going into that final weekend. And I've just tried to tell our guys this year, look, no one expected us to be here this year, sitting 2-0 right now in the state tournament. You know, and so for us going up to play, we have nothing to lose. Let's be loose, let's go up and have some fun. Obviously, we need to play our best baseball, and we're probably only going to do that if we can go up and relax a little bit and play, you know, play loose. And so I'm going to do my best to try and keep the mood all week, you know, a little bit looser. I know last year I was probably a little bit more on edge going into that final weekend, pressing the issue a little bit and whatnot. And you know, you got to learn as a coach, too, that there's certain ways to approach things. And I think, you know, approaching it this year with just a little bit looser attitude, and not that it's any less important, obviously. I mean, it's more important than anything. But, you know, you want your kids to feel comfortable, and you don't want to feel them pressured and whatnot. And so we're going to go up and, you know, do the best we can and keep our attitude, you know, carefree and see where it goes this weekend.
It is important to mention flip side of the bracket right now with the teams that are still unbeaten. Two teams from Region 12, Richfield and Canyon View. Maybe predictable that Canyon View would be there. Richfield seems like a great, another nice surprise story. On top of that, all four teams from Region 12 are still playing baseball. True testament to how good your region was.
Yeah, top to bottom this year. I think, you know, I knew how good it was because I was participating in it every game. But I think everybody around the state didn't want to give us much credit. But you know, we have a Richfield team who is a 4 seed, goes up to Stansbury, knocks off the 1 seed in Stansbury, turns around and beats the number 2 team in Dixie, and is now undefeated, you know, and you know, just great for our region, great for that program. Canyon View was the one seed, so you expect them to be where they're at. And they had a couple tough games. I mean, Union gave them all they wanted in the first game. They come out on top 4-2, and they turn around and they beat a very, very good Desert Hills team, which, you know, I knew that was going to be quite a matchup with those two. And, you know, they come away with a 7-4 win against a very good Desert Hills team. So, yeah, they're in the winner's bracket. Them two face each other in the opposite game of our bracket. And, you know, and then Juab. I mean, Juab goes in as a two seed. They beat Grantsville their first game. And, you know, and then they run into this tough Pineview team that we have on Thursday, and they lost 10-0 to them. But, you know, talking with their coach, it was, you know, they were right there in the ball game until they made a couple errors later innings and really gave Pineview some momentum, and they scored a bunch of runs. But, you know, all four teams from Region 12 being alive still, you know, it's quite a testament. The only other region that can say that is Region 9 with all their – well, they can't say that either because – you know, Dixie lost both their games, so they're already done. So right now, you know, you look at our region, and we've had a really good showing, and I expect us to continue this showing as we go up this weekend.
Well, Lynn, with this coach, you and I were talking off of the cuff. You mentioned you guys had a very good practice yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, probably one of the better hitting practices we've had, which might surprise people because of the weather that was going on yesterday here. It was kind of funny, you know, it's raining cats and dogs here in Price at 4 o'clock yesterday, and as I'm driving out to help her, there's about 2 or 3 inches of slush, you know, on the highway till you hit about the Yamaha shop out on the highway, and then the pavement's completely dry, and it didn't rain a drop in Helper, you know, at least before practice and while we were at practice. I'm sure it did last night, but you know, we were pretty fortunate to get our practice in. I know our women's softball team had to go in the gym yesterday because of the weather to get their practice in, so I'm happy we didn't have to. But yeah, we had a lot of guys swinging the bat well in practice yesterday. I wish we'd been playing a game. But, you know, I just think it was a loose attitude. You could see the kids how excited they were from the weekend, rejuvenated. Obviously, they were dead tired, you know, after those two games on Saturday. And you know, they were pretty quiet on the way home on the bus because I think they were just exhausted. But their attitude yesterday at practice, they were definitely alive and definitely excited about where they're at and where they're going. And you know, that's the kind of practices we need the next couple of days. We've got our athletic banquet tonight for baseball. You know, we'd like to do that after the season's over, but I'm glad we're doing it right now while we're still in season because it's going to make our banquet tonight that much more exciting knowing that, you know, we're 2-0 and going into the last weekend of the state tournament. We've got a lot of good things to talk about, including our summer program. But, you know, extremely excited about our practice yesterday, and hopefully we can keep that up all the way to Thursday.
Yeah, definitely a lot more to talk about in the coming days, Coach. I do appreciate you taking out the time. Best of luck this weekend, and we'll talk again with you next week.
Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
That's Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbondino baseball team. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk NBA lottery. Several storylines building in tonight's lottery as we get set for Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll also talk about the Jazz possibility and their odds of winning the lottery. Very slim. Crazier things have happened. We'll talk about that when we return.
Some people like long drives to spend more. Others like to shop local for a great deal every day at Tony Basso GM. You'll get the best price or get $500.
Hi, I'm Nick Ori. I was born and raised in Carbon County. I grew up on a local farm and know the meaning of hard work. Customer satisfaction is my top priority. Give me a call today at Tony Basso GM, 650-4565.
The best price, a great deal locally every day at Tony Basso GM.
Is that your science project?
Yep, it's a termite colony.
Where'd you find them? Down in the woods?
Nope, there's lots of them in our basement.
In our basement?
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Before termites make themselves at home in your home, call Terminix for a free termite inspection. 1-800-915-1019. Terminix is the nation's leading provider of termite and pest control services, backed by more than 85 years' experience. We'll stop those damaging invaders in their tracks. We can also defend your home against future invasions and the damage they may cause with our ultimate protection guarantee. If they come back, so will we. Defend your home now before termites start causing expensive damage. It's your home, not theirs. Call Terminix today for a free termite inspection. 1-800-915-1019. That's 1-800-915-1019.
Ultimate protection guarantee not available on every plan. Limitations apply. Call for details.
Hi, this is Colonel David Smith, commander of the Air Force Reserve's 419th Fighter Wing at Hill Air Force Base in Utah. Military experience can add greatly to your life, as it has mine, and provide many adventures. There are many part-time jobs in the Air Force Reserve here in Utah, which will allow you to advance your civilian career or continue your education while serving close to home. The Air Force Reserve offers positions with excellent training, including working with its newest fighter, the F-35 Lightning II. As you learn new skills, you receive competitive pay, tuition assistance, and many other benefits. I encourage you to start your adventure in the Air Force Reserve by going to afreserve.com or calling 800-257-1212. That's 800-257-1212.
This message is sponsored by the Air Force Reserve and aired by the Utah Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
They're running down a dream that never would come to me. Running down
a dream. Give you a scoreboard update. Right now we have one baseball game in play. At Cincinnati and Cleveland, 0-0 in the bottom of the second inning. We didn't go over the schedule for Major League Baseball today. One game live right now. No day games outside of the one that pretty much just started. Seattle at Baltimore at 5:05, Miami at Philly, also Atlanta at Pittsburgh, and the Braves, they're looking for a new manager today, which is, again, another topic that we didn't get to. They fired Freddy Gonzalez after a 9-28 start. Not a whole lot of shock there. After Bobby Cox, just not a whole lot of... You know, you would hope that you would have... It's impossible to have the same stability. I understand that. Which is one of the reasons why I've applauded what the Jazz have done with Quinn Snyder. Because you're a franchise that's been built around stability. And when the staple leaves, it sometimes can be very difficult to keep everything in place for a long period of time. I think this is proof of it right there. Tampa Bay at Toronto. We get Minnesota at Detroit. Washington at the Mets. All of those games in the 5 o'clock hour. 6 o'clock, Houston at Chicago. That's the White Sox. Then we get the Cubbies at the Brewers. Boston at Kansas City. Colorado at St. Louis. 7 o'clock hour, New York at Arizona. 8 o'clock, Texas at Oakland. And we get the Dodgers playing host to the Angels. And then the Giants at the Padres. Now let's talk about the NBA lottery. That is tonight. A lot of storylines in this one as well. The way it is supposed to shake out would have Philly at number one, the Lakers at number two, Boston at number three. Boston gets this pick from a trade they made with Brooklyn a couple of years ago when Billy King rolled the dice and brought in Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Jason Terry. Mind you, none of those three players are still in Brooklyn, nor did it produce much success. And hindsight's easy to look at. If you're a Boston Celtic fan, you're laughing right now at the fact that you have a chance to get the number one pick in the draft after making the postseason for trading three guys that are playing for three other teams right now. Yet I still don't fault Billy King for that. I don't. He rolled the dice. He went all in. He had an owner in Prokhorov who really wanted to spend a lot of money. He was willing to go all in. They rolled the dice and it didn't work. I never fault teams for attempting to win. Was it a dumb trade? Probably wasn't the brightest idea. Yet at the same time, Brooklyn was trying to compete in the Eastern Conference. They had Deron Williams. They had Joe Johnson. They went all in. And it didn't work. If it works, you look at it right now and you say, who cares? Because you're giving up the 28th pick, 25th pick in the draft. Now, it worked out good for Boston. Phoenix 4, Minnesota 5. The Pelicans 6, the Nuggets 7, the Kings 8, Raptors 9, Bucks 10, Magic 11, Jazz 12, Wizards 13, Bulls 14. That's the way it would shape if the lottery balls were to fall the way it's expected. Now, the 76ers have a 64% chance at ending up in the top three. The Lakers have a 55% chance. The Lakers are important here because, again, we can go back and talk about a trade that didn't necessarily work out. The Lakers traded multiple picks to Phoenix in exchange for a 38-year-old Steve Nash. At the time, it seemed like it was a move that a lot of people applauded at the time. Lakers had just pulled off a move to get Dwight Howard. You had Pau Gasol, you had Kobe Bryant, you had Ron Artest, you needed a point guard. Obviously, it didn't work out. Now, if the Lakers fall out of the top three, that pick goes to Philadelphia, which is why the 76ers could really be the big winners tonight. If the Sixers win the lottery with their pick, they get number one, which means the Lakers have a 19% chance of getting the second pick and a 17% chance of getting the number three pick. So if the 76ers get one, the Lakers have about a 36% chance of keeping that pick, and about at that point in time it diminishes quite a bit, and they'd have about a 25% chance of falling out. But if they fall to number four and Philly wins, Philly gets the number one, they get the number four pick. That's a dream scenario for the 76ers because the Suns traded this protected pick to Philadelphia last year, I believe. So that's the main storyline to watch tonight. There's some other trades that have affected the lottery and where we sit at right now. We talked about the Celtics and the Nets. The Nuggets getting a lottery pick at number seven, that's a big deal. That's actually part of the deal for Carmelo Anthony, because it was swapped. Well, basically what happened, the Knicks traded that pick to the Nuggets, they swapped picks, and now the Nuggets get that pick back because they're in the lottery. So that was at one time the Knicks pick. Now the Knicks had a pick, and they traded it to the Raptors in exchange for Andre Bargnani. A lot of weird scenarios in the NBA. The NBA has made it very difficult to follow the lottery and the way this whole selection thing goes down. But the Jazz tonight, they have a 2% chance of getting in the top three, 1.9% chance of winning the lottery. What are the odds of that? Two other teams have entered the lottery with less than a 3% chance of winning it, and they left with the first overall pick, just for you Jazz fans. In 2008, the Bulls had a 1.7% chance. They won it. They ended up drafting Derrick Rose. Worked out okay for a while before Rose was banged up with injuries. Won an MVP. 3 years later, the Cavaliers own the Clippers pick. They had a 2.8% chance of winning the lottery. They won it. They turned it into Kyrie Irving. Now, the Cavaliers have had a lot of success lately in the draft. They had just a 1.7% chance of doing it when they got the pick that eventually turned into Kevin Love. So eight teams finished with a worse record than the Cavaliers. They got the opportunity to draft Andrew Wiggins. They ultimately traded that to Minnesota for Kevin Love. So the Cavaliers have done wonders in the lottery as of late. And because of it, they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's how you use those lottery picks. You don't have to draft somebody. Find value in it in some way, shape, or form. Sure, you can make the argument that they'd be better with Wiggins, but the fact is they've done very well in the lottery, and because of it, a couple of years later, they're competing for an NBA title. Under the current lottery system, which has been changed a little bit, the lowest-seeded team entering the lottery to win the top overall pick was Chicago. Again, they jumped from 9 all the way to number 1. The biggest overall jump under the current system belongs to the Hornets, who improved from 13 to 3 back in 1999. The Magic, however, moved from number 11 to number 1 in 1993. ESPN recently just did a 30 for 30 on this, and it was fantastic. This Magic moment, if you haven't got to watch that yet, please do. It's fantastic. You'll love it. Talks about how the Magic lucked out of the lottery that year. They drafted some guy named Shaquille O'Neal. Biggest jump to the top of the NBA lottery in history, though that format much different today than it was back then. So again, the notes to pay attention to in the lottery, which is about 1 hour away. If the Lakers do not get a top three pick, that pick goes to Philly. Boston's pick is from Brooklyn. This runs the odds that Brooklyn earned to getting that first pick. The Knicks used to have a pick, but it goes to Denver. If Sacramento is not a top 10 pick, it goes to Cleveland, who then gives it to Chicago. If Washington is not a top nine overall, then it goes to Phoenix. The Jazz will continue to not send players for a while, but whatever. The Jazz are sending tonight. They're going to send, I believe Steve Starks is going to be the man in attendance at the podium tonight for the Jazz. Justin Zanuck is going to be the man in the back, assistant general manager, who is actually interviewing for a couple of jobs this week. That's who's going to be in attendance for the Jazz. Brett Brown, coach for the Sixers, he'll be in attendance. Mitch Kupchak, general manager for the Lakers. The Celtics are sending Isaiah Thomas. The Suns are sending Devin Booker. The Timberwolves are sending Karl-Anthony Towns. Willie Cauley-Stein will represent the Kings. And Jimmy Butler is going to represent the Bulls. So you have a few players there at the podium tonight as well. hopefully for good luck for those squads. We're going to pause for just a minute. We'll come back. We'll put the final touches on this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports.
Hi, I'm Casey Quinn with Catton and Miller Insurance. We all know the best game is a combination of the players, the X's and O's, and the end score. Your insurance also requires these same elements. The players, you and I, the X's and O's, your coverage, and the end score, your peace of mind. The playbook consists of many different options. As the trusted choice independent insurance agent, we have the options you need with multiple carriers to make sure your game is where you want and need it to be. Give me a call today, 435-637-1848.
They say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Steak and eggs, French toast, pancakes, or even an omelet. That's reason enough for me to follow this great advice. And my favorite place for breakfast is Big Mo's. I love that they have so many choices and can order something different every time. Plus, at Big Mo's, they serve breakfast all day long, so I can get my breakfast fix any time of the day. I think I'll have the biscuits and gravy for lunch today. Visit Big Mo's on 7th East. Next time you're craving breakfast, you can even call for takeout, 636-0451.
Hot wings, pizza, fried chicken. What's your favorite snack while watching TV? No matter what you like to snack on, Smith's Food and Drug has you covered. Stop into the Hot Deli where you'll find a lot of prepared foods ready to enjoy. Barbecued rotisserie and fried chicken, corn dogs, potato salads, pasta salads, and baked beans. Fresh sliced meats and cheeses are just some of the great things that you'll find at your neighborhood Smith's Food and Drug. Check Smith's out today and remember the short line guarantee. If there are two or more people in line, Smith's opens another check stand.
Crab fishing, one of the deadliest jobs in the country. Fishermen go toe-to-toe with Mother Nature using 700-pound steel traps that are dropped 400 feet below the ocean surface to capture this delicacy. But we live in the desert, and there's no crab anywhere.
Until now. It's the brand new Crab Oscar Pizza at Big Don's in Price. This creation is a white sauce-based pizza topped with bacon, onions, asparagus, and crab. Get yours today at Big Don's, located at 170 West 100 North in Price. Call 637-DONS for takeout or delivery.
The Criminal Justice Program at USU Eastern is one of the most popular programs on the campus. The criminal justice field offers a wide variety of job options with this degree, not just in law enforcement and corrections, but also careers in the court system and attorneys or at their law offices. Their classes are generally smaller and they have the lowest tuition rates in the state. There is also financial aid available for those that qualify. For more information on the Criminal Justice Program at USU Eastern, contact Scott Henry at 435-613-5135.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard. Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year.
It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Throw it down. And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years.
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarino on KOAL 750 AM.
Spent way too much time talking about the lottery and Odor on the show today. We haven't even got to talk Eastern Conference Finals yet. Before I move away from the lottery, there's this, I don't even know what it is. I don't even know what you would call it. You push it on your cell phone. You grab your cell phone, you push a button, you push it again. It'll tell you who's going to win the lottery, at least on the prediction off the phone. Let's see who it's going to be. According to my phone, Philadelphia 76ers are going to win the lottery. According to Dikembe Mutombo, they're going to win the lottery too. By the way, he has apologized for that on Twitter. He said that he jumped the gun a little bit. He just hopes Philadelphia wins the lottery. Tonight we get Toronto on the road taking on the Cavaliers. Game one tonight, game two Friday, game three Sunday. The Raptors won the season series 2-1. They pulled out two wins at home by a combined 6 points. Very entertaining games. Kyle Lowry had a career best 43 points in one of those games. And he hit a jumper with about 4 seconds left. I'm sure you remember that game. The Cavaliers won 122-100 in the loan meeting in Cleveland. During the course of the series, Cleveland made 43 three-point shots. That's 14.3 per game, including 17 in their win. J.R. Smith went 14 of 25 from the field in the series. LeBron averaged 23 points, and despite sitting out the fourth quarter of their lone victory over Toronto, Kevin Love went for about 18 per game. Cleveland is going to try to run Toronto out of the building. They're going to try to put up as many points as possible. Top two teams in the East, they took very different roads to get to this stage. I'm not going to write off Toronto. I don't think they win this series, don't get me wrong. Cleveland's going to win. But I think Toronto is a game opponent. I think Toronto's a team that really has just been overlooked based on past failures. Now, they had a battle on their hands in round one. They found a way to get a victory. They had a battle on their hands in round two. Again, they found a way to win. Cleveland has just marched right through the Eastern Conference. Hasn't even been close. Detroit gave them a couple of decent games, but they sweep the Pistons. Detroit gave them a decent matchup. Second round, it was a mismatch from the go. Cleveland just blasted through Atlanta. X-factor in this game, Bismack Biyombo. Playing probably the best basketball in his career. And Bismack Biyombo is one of the guys that had a long stint with the Bobcats for a while before he actually made his move over to Toronto. Playing for the injured Jonas Valanciunas, he had 17 points, 16 rebounds in that win against the Heat. He hurt the Cavs during the regular season at 10 points and 7 boards, and the Raptors will need him to be effective against a small lineup if they have any shape and form a chance of winning the series. Bismack Biyombo has to have a great series. It's going to be one down low for the Raptors if they have a chance of pulling off this upset. I like it. I think it's going to be entertaining. I'm going to take Cleveland in... It's got to be 5 or 7. It's tough to say. I think we're going to have a battle on our hands. Cleveland probably wins the first two. Toronto wins game 3. Whoever wins game 4. Game 4 will decide if it's going to be Cleveland in 5 or Cleveland in 7. I'm still rolling with Golden State. I'm not jumping off that bandwagon yet. Again, nobody expected Golden State to sweep Oklahoma City. I thought maybe 7. You pick them to win in 7, they got to lose at least 2 more times, right? Don't panic yet, especially if you're a Golden State fan. They'll be okay. We're out of time on the show. I want to thank Coach Jeff Cincinnatus. Tomorrow joining us, it'll be Scott Matson of the USU Eastern Golden Eagles. We always look forward to having Coach Matson on the show. Also, we're going to start talking about a local MMA event, Justice. Cody Bunderson from Fierce MMA, he's going to join us on the show tomorrow as well. So we got a great show lined up for you. You definitely don't want to miss it. It's coming up here on Drive Time Sports tomorrow, 4 to 5, same time, same place. Be safe. I'm out.